I remember a couple of years ago, we were doing a symposium on melanoma when the combination data of ipilimumab and nivolumab was coming out, and everybody was like, oh, can we do this in the community? And of course, now people kind of do it routinely. So as you say, there really is a capability to handle complicated therapies. Where do you think this is going to land? You know, when you talk about immunotherapy in general, people are always thinking about the concept of upfront. I know we're a long way from that.
Sure.
But could you envision upfront cellular therapy?
Yeah, so, and exactly what you say, sometimes we confuse all of this. So remember, we've got cellular immunotherapy is what we're talking about. What we haven't spoken about is, you know, there's other forms of immunotherapy, just as the checkpoint inhibitors have been very active in solid tumors. More and more, we're seeing that the checkpoint inhibitors are active in myeloma, usually not as a single agent, but in combination, particularly with the immunomodulatory agents. Those combinations have been very active. And there's some suggestion that adding checkpoint inhibition to the cellular therapies might even further improve those. But this is still a hope rather than a proven thing. But if we find that these cellular therapies really can overcome resistance and really eliminate every single malignant cell, then obviously it has the potential of being the brass ring, that this will be something that if you give it early to the patients, we talk a lot about the genetic biology of myeloma cells and how certain genetics lead to much more resistant clones. Well, when you're targeting something that's on the surface of every one of these malignant cells, then it almost doesn't matter what's inside the cell if it really is capable of destroying every cell that it attacks. And then if it can persist and be a serial killer, then doing this sort of therapy early in the course of the disease may be a way of really leading to long-term remissions in these patients. But that, of course, remains to be determined.
So I want to go through your cases. And the first one I want to ask you about is this 54-year-old man who's a pharmacist. But before you go through the case, I see that he got daratumumab. And before we get into that, I'm just thinking about what you were saying about immunotherapy, checkpoint inhibitors, and cellular therapy. What's your vision about how daratumumab and elotuzumab work?
Well, ever since rituximab was created and found to be effective for B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, of course, we've been looking for the rituximab for every disease that we can find. And in particular, myeloma just really being another B-cell malignancy, we've been looking for a rituximab for myeloma. And just like with the cellular therapy, BCMA is a logical target for plasma cells. And in fact, there are anti-BCMA monoclonal antibodies that are under current investigation. And in fact, they've latched immuno sort of conjugates, so toxins, to anti-BCMA and have seen very remarkable responses with that sort of work. But the more common markers that are on myeloma cells include the CS1 or the SLAMF7 antigen, as well as a CD38 antigen. In fact, CD38 is one of the ways that we use flow cytometry to isolate and identify plasma cells. So looking for or creating antibodies, and both the CS1, the SLAMF7, and the CD38 in particular are primarily on plasma cells. I mean, that's one of the key ingredients or criteria for being a good target. It has to be something that's primarily on the tumor cell and not particularly on other cells. And so with the CS1 SLAMF7, the elotuzumab monoclonal antibody, which was really the first one that was being used, as a single agent, it had actually very little activity. But when, again, combined with immunomodulatory agents, lenalidomide in particular, there's been a very nice randomized trial that shows clear improvement in response and particularly survival when elotuzumab is added to the lenalidomide and dexamethasone. Exactly what aspect of how that's working is really the primary aspect. We still are not 100% certain, but it doesn't seem like it is the direct toxic effect of elotuzumab on the myeloma cell that leads to the destruction. It does look like, in my mind, I see it as elotuzumab latches onto the tumor cell, and it sort of acts as a flag for the innate immune system, which is being activated by the lenalidomide to help destroy those myeloma cells. In daratumumab, I think that's a little different. I mean, daratumumab definitely, as a single agent, shows remarkable responses. And in fact, in one of the patients who I gave you as a, as this pharmacist who I gave you as a case, he had received many therapies, including some investigational therapies, and was really sort of like my patient with the CAR T cells, was really progressing and relapsed and really getting very sick from his myeloma. Fortunately, we had opened the single agent daratumumab clinical trial. So he was one of the patients on that trial. And just receiving, in the standard way that we give daratumumab, the weekly dosing for 8 weeks and then going to every other week for 4 months and then going to monthly, he went into a beautiful remission. And that remission with a single agent daratumumab lasted for about a year and a half, which is pretty remarkable. And so single agent activity was definitely helpful in his case. And again, exactly how single agent activity works, it seems like it's a combination of different immunological events, though there is a direct apoptosis and destruction of the cells by the latching on of the antibody. But in addition, it does seem like it modulates the NK cells and other immune cells to help destroy the myeloma.
At ASCO, we were getting ready to do a myeloma session, and one of the docs in the audience came up and handed me an abstract and said, "What's this all about?" And it was a paper looking at daratumumab and a checkpoint inhibitor, atezolizumab, in lung cancer. What's the thinking there in terms of outside of myeloma?
Well, you know, I can't speak as much for outside of myeloma, but there certainly is the, you know, if you can turn off the anti-immune stimulation, and then also give an immune stimulant, you can see how the, you know, the whole checkpoint inhibitor story is fascinating and tremendous. I mean, we sometimes forget that our immune system evolved, and it really does come down to evolution, that our immune system evolved to basically destroy foreign invaders, microbes and things like that. The problem with cancer is that cancer looks a very much like us, and our immune system evolved to not kill us, to proliferate and destroy other but not us. And so the only way, though, that we can use our innate immune system to kill cancer is to sort of turn off the process that protects us. And that's where these checkpoint inhibitors, the whole concept is fascinating and brilliant and has really remarkably led to beautiful responses in many diseases. And so now we're going the extra step of not only turning off checkpoints, but also stimulating immunity even further.
Your patient who did so well on the daratumumab, this 54-year-old man, how did he do in terms of tolerability? The one thing we've heard about are infusion reactions. I'm curious what happened with him, and also what you know about, what you think about, and whether you've even tried sub-Q dara.
Infusion reaction, well, in many ways, the biggest issue when it comes to daratumumab is, number one, the potential for infusion reactions or quote-unquote allergic reactions, which leads us to be very cautious, particularly in the initial infusions of these patients, to a very slow infusion, sort of like rituximab, where we start at a very slow rate and then go faster and faster, so that the first infusions can frequently be eight-hour-long infusions. We've learned that there's a number of ways to decrease the likelihood of reactions, and there's a whole standard operating procedure now to decrease that. And I think probably the most important thing has been the use of Singular the day or so before the initiation of the infusion can significantly decrease any respiratory distress or fevers and allow for a more rapid infusion. For the vast majority of patients, though, by the second infusion, the duration of the infusion can be reduced to maybe 5 to 6 hours. And I would say the average infusions are probably 4 to 5 hour infusions at this point and are well tolerated. There is some suggestion that there's an increase in infections in patients who get the monoclonal antibodies. Exactly how that's all sorting itself out is still being determined. But in general, just like as we were saying, daratumumab is now being used in most community practices with a lot of safety and effectiveness. But it's somewhat of a barrier to have a treatment that takes 5 hours of infusion.